section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
I kissed my sweetie with my fist. I damn near almost broke my wrist. She picked her teeth up off the floor. Guess she won't sass me anymore. I kissed my sweetie with my fist. Kissed my sweetie with my fist.
He only hits me when I'm bad.
Kissed my sweetie with my fist. Kissed my sweetie with my fist. I damn near almost broke my wrist. My heart is broken, my hand is sore. Hell, I don't love her anymore. I kissed my sweetie with my fist. Doing time, it sure ain't fun.
This is Dog by Air. You're listening to the White Trash Revival with Donnie fucking Cash.
What the fuck is up, everyone? I must say, how do? This is the White Trash Revival, episode 31, and I am Donnie fucking Cash. Do I have a show lined up for you, motherfuckers? You are in for a goddamn treat. I have an interview with the, I do say, the James Honeycutt, and I'm going to do a little album review for D.B. Cooper and the Hard Cash Band, somebody you folks need to check out. And I started off the show with little Cotton Jackson, little group from my neck of the woods. They're from Columbus, Ohio, you know, 45 minutes from me. And it was a song called I Kissed My Sweetie. It was off their album called Watch the Leather. And you can find them at myspace.com/CottonJacksonRocks. You know, definitely check them boys out. And like I said, it's going to be a good show this episode. And I do want to send a big fat fuck you to a group called Old Oak Revival. You know, they told me they'd send some stuff to me, and I asked them about it, and they got back with me and said, well, your show's not even tracked, so how much money are you willing to pay for our tracks? I'll tell you what I'm willing to pay you. I'm willing to pay you motherfuckers from Old Oak Revival 6¾ inches of cock down your throat. Then you'd owe me something, bitches. So fuck off. So, let's get in this first goddamn set while I'm pumped up.
And you know You must be Igor.
No, it's pronounced Igor.
But they told me it was Igor.
Well, they were wrong then, weren't they?
Time we did a little more of it right here. And to all those naysayers out there who say that's illegal, you can't strike children on their bare buttocks with razor sharp bamboo sticks, well, to them I say, yes, we cane.
I feel fine when I got you on my mind, and I think about you walking with me in the summertime. Smile all day, how I look, feel this way, and I'm very proud to say that you are mine. And I think about the time you spent with him for all those years, and all the years ahead that you had planned. And it preys upon my mind as I lie awake at night. Sometimes it's almost more than I can stand. Summertime, smile all day, how I luck feel his way, and I'm very proud to say that you are mine. Then I get these visions when I look into your eyes, pictures that are burned upon my mind, like the one of you and him the night that he gave you his name, an image that I just can't leave behind.
And starting off this set was Peter Head in the Pitchfork Militia with a song called Murder on My Mind, and it was off the disc Tastes Like Chicken. Following them was the Ski Balls with the song About Last Night off the CD About Last Night. And ending the set was Robert Lovett with I Feel Fine off of his CD Keep On Working. You can find him on myspace.com/Robert Lovett Music. That's with two T's. Lovett. Alright. Let's get into another song, and then we'll come right back with the James Honeycutt interview. Let's get into Quarter Mile Combo with 100 Miles to Heartbreak, and that's off their CD Motels, Gas, and Beer, and they are on 6 Volt Records. So let's do this, motherfuckers.
It's been 18 lonely nights on that long, lonesome road. Night after night, a different town is all I know. That truck stops dining and that whole night driving. I keep on chasing that guy. Keep on chasing that dotted line. Keep on chasing that dotted line. Many sights to see and attractions that may be. I can't forget about the love that waits for me. I may have wandering eyes and a staggered heart. This kind of living I should know from the start. This kind of living I should know from the start. This kind of living I should know from the start. Robin's egg.
Alright, folks, with me on the phone I have the James Honeycutt. How are you doing, James?
I'm great. How are you doing, Donnie?
I'm doing outstanding. I'm a little intimidated to do this interview with someone of your caliber.
Oh, man. I'm just a normal guy. Don't even worry about it.
Okay. If you say so. I'm, drink a couple beers, get relaxed, and hopefully it all goes well. I'm not a real big experienced when it comes to interviews, and, you know, you're almost like, it's like I'm starting off in porn and you're Ron Jeremy.
Right on.
All right, so let's tell everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm a singer, musician, songwriter from Port Orchard, Washington, Washington State. Been playing music. Started playing guitar when I was 12, so I guess I've been playing 24 years now. Play everything from country and roots music to hardcore metal and punk and jazz, rockabilly. I just love music, you know. And quit my job 2.5 years ago to be a full-time musician, so I guess I've been a full-time guy for about 2.5 years, and living the dream, man. It's totally awesome. It doesn't pay a lot, but in ways that matter, it pays more than money's ever worth anyway, so it's been really cool.
So what kind of job did you give up to fulfill this music career?
I worked at a government shipyard in Bremerton. It's called the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard. So it was some people thought I was crazy. I know my folks weren't totally thrilled with me to leave the job because it was good pay and good benefits and a stable job, too, and I was a permanent employee, so... Some people were like, what the hell are you doing? But I'd injured myself a couple of times at work, and the second time I got hurt, I was, you know, kind of on the mend and thinking about it, and it dawned on me, you know, what the hell are you waiting for, man? You know, it's either now or never. This music's what you're born to do. It's what you're best at. It's what you love. You know, either do it now or wake up at age 60 wishing that you had. So just decided to go for it.
Well, how's the music scene up that way?
It's cool, man. It's eclectic. I'm about an hour west of Seattle, and Seattle's got some decent stuff going on. I actually prefer the other side of the water where I'm at. I'm in Kitsap County in a Bremerton, Port Orchard area, and there's a lot of cool stuff over here, man. And part of what's cool about it is it's not really big scene, not really big towns. So it's much more grassroots. All the bands, we all kind of know each other. And it's not all clicky as far as styles of music go. I mean, everybody gets along. We'll have shows, and you'll have a metal band, a punk band, rockabilly band play together. Everybody digs it, and everyone's cool to each other. So it's kind of, I prefer it to the Seattle scene just because it's small enough over here to everybody gets along with each other, and there's none of that scenester crap. You know, it's small enough scene to where if you act like a scenester, everyone's just going to kind of alienate you because you're being a douche, I guess.
Yeah. So, who's some of your influence?
Wow. Probably, I'd have to say Hank Williams. Probably the biggest one as far as the country goes, country music goes. For newer artists, Joe Buck yourself, good friend of mine, and he definitely inspired me to do the one-man thing more. Wayne the Train, too. Playing with him inspired the hell out of me. There's a lot, just people that I run into as well, too. People that are out there doing it, that are out there on the road a lot like I am. The Goddamn Gallows, Jake Corvus, 357 String Band. There's certain bands that you run into that kind of kindred spirits, you know. They all inspire me very much. And earlier on,
So, doing this for 24 years, who have you shared the stage with?
Oh, wow. As far as people that I've actually, like, bands I've played with, or just bands, like, playing shows with, you know, playing shows with over the years? Kind
yeah,
of?
Like, play, yeah, playing the shows with.
Oh, wow. Let me think. All kinds of stuff, actually. It's kind of, I've played enough, the last 3 years especially, 3 or 4 years, I've played about 200 shows a year. So it's actually, I've had the honor of playing with some really cool bands, a lot of my favorite bands. Everybody from, like, Lemmy and Headcat, I think, Goddamn Gallows. Man, I should look at a list. I'm brain dead right now. Mad Sin. I'm trying to think of bands, like, as far as rockabilly, psychobilly kind of country and stuff. I've played with a lot of shows with Joe Buck. I was playing with Wayne the Train, playing guitar with him last summer. We played with Red Volkart. Opened up for Willie Nelson at Nelsonville Music Fest in Ohio last summer. Some amazing stuff, actually. When I think about it, it blows my mind. I hope I'm not being too random here.
So all these shows and all these people you've played with, have you ever been starstruck?
The only time I was actually really, really starstruck, honestly, was first time, and actually I wasn't even playing a show, I guess, but well, the first time I played with Headcat, and I had actually met Lemmy before. I got to hang out with him a couple of times after shows and partied with him back when I used to party. And I was starstruck then, but, like, playing with Headcat the first time, played with him a couple of times, and that really tripped me out the first time. And I was also definitely starstruck when I was playing guitar for Wayne last summer, because I went into it really green, no rehearsals or anything, and I only had one of his albums, too, so when we first played together, meeting him, I was a little starstruck, and I was also very intimidated, because the first show we played together was in Nashville at the Foo Bar, and that was the first time we'd ever played together. There was no rehearsal or anything, so it was like my first rehearsal was in front of 200 people, and I didn't know most of the songs, so that was it. I was a little bit starstruck and intimidated, but it was super cool, you know?
Yeah. Well, how about we get into the first song? I'd like to play Dick to Cry On, because I absolutely love that song.
Right on. Thank you, man.
How did you come up with that song?
Well, actually, I didn't write Dick to Cry On. It's one of the only songs I do. Well, I do a lot of covers in here and stuff, along with original material, but Dick to Cry On is it's actually a Neutral Boy song, which is it's a punk band that I used to play with. I played drums for them about 5 or 6 years ago, and then I played guitar with them last year. And it's a Neutral Boy song that actually I just fell in love with it when I heard it and started playing it and did my own version just because I love the song so much. It is a great song. And who can relate to it that, you know, that's been laid? I mean, it kind of covers the whole one-night stand thing pretty well. It's a pretty true-to-life tune.
Yeah, it covers my teenage years. I was always friends with all the girls, and then once their boyfriends broke up with them, guess who was fucking them?
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, you definitely made the song your own, so let's play it, and we'll come right back.
Right on.
She called to say her boyfriend dumped her. Dick to cry on, dick to cry on. She got what she wanted. She got a dick to cry on. Dick to cry on. Responsibilities. Even if I try, I don't need the interference. I dig my life. I drink too much. I'm afraid of love. Can't sit still. Did I mention I'm a drunk? Well, there's nothing there, and neither one cares. Dick to cry on, dick to cry on. Well, I have no money, no feelings, no heart. Dick to cry on, dick to cry on. If it's not the future,
to cry on. That's why she's crying on me. Dick to cry on. That's why she's crying on me.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, and we're back. Well, tell me how you hooked up with Jake Orvis.
Oh, Jake. First time I met Jake was I was in a band called the Swinos, and we were playing together at El Corazon in Seattle. They have two stages at the club, and we were playing one side, and 357 String Band was playing the other side, and we were both kind of doing out a little bit of each other. We could just hear each other in between and really enjoy each other's music, and ran into each other to tell each other that. Just hit it off really well, got along really well, and probably played together, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 times over the years since then. And I knew that Jake had parted ways with 357 String Band last summer, which is a kind of a bummer to everybody to hear about it. But then he started playing with Goddamn Gallows, and a buddy of mine from Montana actually is starting up a label called Farmageddon Records, and he had mentioned putting out Jake's solo record and talked to me about it, and I was like, man, that's killer, you know, I'd love to be a part of that. And he got a hold of me in December actually and said that it was indeed happening and asked if I wanted to do it, and I was like, hell yeah, I'd love to. And they ended up flying my broke ass out to Virginia, where we recorded it at Rebel Root Studios, which is run by J.B. Beverly. And spent about a week out there in December, and then went back out in January after I got done with my last tour. And it's called It's All Been Said is the album, and it just turned out amazing. I mean, it's the coolest record I've ever been a part of. So it's really an honor to take part. I mean, and the people involved too. I love Jake to death. He's a super good guy, talented guy, and Johnny Lawless. Playing upright bass on it, same thing, great guy, talented guy. He plays with J.B. Beverly and the Wayward Drifters. And we also have Banjo Dan, who was J.B.'s banjo player, phenomenal banjo player, picking on it. Joe Valentine, really talented guy, local musician over there, played some real unique roots instruments on it too, some turbo diddly and a cigar box steel guitar. Just really excited about it. The plan is that it's going to be done, I believe, between April and May sometime. I'll definitely let you know and shoot you a copy when I get it.
Oh, that'd be sweet. I remember the first time I seen Jake Orvis was when he was with 357, and he was opening up. They were opening up for Joe Buck down at the Southgate House in Newport, Kentucky. And I remember they came on stage, and I'm like, look at this motherfucker. He had the dreadlocks, and he was carrying a fifth of vodka. He didn't look like your typical mandolin player, but god damn, did he play the fuck out of that thing. I think he'd have made Bill Monroe happy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the same thing. I that was one of the things that struck me the most about 357 was Jake. Is just seeing him, like, wow, here's this crusty punk metal-looking dude, and he's just killing it on the mandolin.
Yeah, I was pretty upset when he got kind of booted out of the band. You know, I call him the... I like him, but now I call him the 356 String Band because they don't have Jake.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's kind of a tough one. Like, I get along with all the guys, and I dig what they're doing now, too. But I was really bummed, too, and I know a lot of people that were. Because Jake was one of the original members of the band. He helped start the band, and just his attitude and persona, too. Super nice guy, man. You know, he was definitely the first one to... that I made that connection with out of those guys, because he was, you know, just really outgoing and stuff, and that's not to say that the other guys aren't, but yeah, it definitely bummed me out that happened too. A lot of people felt that way, but I mean, it's kind of a tough situation, you know.
Yeah.
I wish them all the best, and Billy, I know the guy who's playing with 357 now is a really cool guy too, and a talented guy, so I hope it all works out for the best. This record for Jake is going to be really good, though.
Yeah, I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
So when you guys were down there recording it, was it pretty, was it wild? Was you guys partying a lot, or what?
Oh, there was some partying, but mostly it was mostly just crunching on the material, because we went into it basically, my buddy Darren from Farmageddon called me up, and 4 days later, I was over there, and we just spent a day and a half just hanging out and kind of smoking and joking and picking, and kind of getting an idea of how the songs were going to go, because we really didn't know the songs. Jake had sent me a couple of demo versions, you know, a few days before I flew out there, but for the most part, we were going into it pretty green. So we just jammed on them a day or day and a half or so, and then we just started recording the record. So it was really long sessions and a lot of cramming on the material, just because it was like, whoa, you know, how do these songs go? And because we're kind of figuring out why we're recording it, which isn't usually the best way to do things, but we had the opportunity to do it and kind of pounced on it. But so there was definitely some staying up till 8, 9, 10 in the morning kind of sessions, but on our own. I mean, we didn't record that late, but when we get done, we were bouncing ideas off each other and staying up way too late.
So you've been doing this for quite a long time, and 200 shows a year, that's a lot. What's some of the perks of being a musician and being out on the road all the time?
I think the biggest perks, man, you know, getting to do what I love, because I get satisfaction and a release out of playing music live that, you know, nothing else even comes close. I mean, it's I tell people it's better than sex, it's better than drugs, and it really is. It's I get to do that like a lot, and plus, you know, it's like since I really started doing the solo thing really hard and heavy the last few years, I get a satisfaction out of doing that too, that it's just more personal than when I've played in bands in the past. And it's like I get to let that out almost every night, and I get to go to different towns, get to see different people, see the country, and get to meet cool people everywhere I go. You know, it's kind of in some ways it's renewed my faith in the human race, man, because it's really taught me that there are good people everywhere you go. And which is true, and I didn't see that until I started touring a lot. You know, I was definitely more cynical, and it's actually kind of given me a better outlook, because I've got to meet really good people, and I have brothers and sisters, extended family is what I call it, in, you know, pretty much in every town I go to, and that's you know, wow. I mean, you could ask for more than that. It's a charmed life.
What's some of the negatives of doing this?
The negatives, not a lot of money to be had. Plus, it's tough to have a relationship and make it work. I've kind of just accepted the fact that I'm going to be single for who knows how long, maybe the rest of my life. We'll see. Those things, plus it's just, I don't know, I guess it comes at a sacrifice, man, and a lot of people don't realize that. Like, if you don't do it, I think, like, people tend to have this idea that playing music, like, oh, you know, you're just out there, you're partying all the time, you're making money, you're getting laid. And it's not like that. It's not this, you know, extravagant, high society kind of, you know, leading the dream life kind of thing. I mean, it is in the ways that I just talked about, but, man, it's tight. There's, you know, you're broke. And when you, like, I go out on the road by myself too, so I do most, if not all, of my driving too. So it's like I'll play a gig, and man, you know, I'm going off an hour or two of sleep sometimes. Sometimes I'm going off no sleep, and you don't get to hang out with people as much as you'd like to. It's like you meet really cool people, and then you got to go. So it's kind of rough that way. And plus, I guess something that, you know, in the back of my mind as a parent too. You know, that messes with me a little bit. I get to spend more time with my son now than I did when I was working, ironically enough. But at the same time, part of me thinks, man, you know, I should have kept that job. I should be holding down this job so I can provide for my son better. But that being said, I think that I'm providing so much more for him because I get to spend more time with him. Because when I'm not touring, you know, I don't have a day job, so when I'm home, we're hanging out. I get to hang out with my boy, get to take him to school, pick him up from school. And also, I'd like to think that by living my dream, that I'll hopefully inspire him to do the same. cynical because they never did it. You know, they're jealous, or they're just full of shit. You know, they don't want you. They're trying to get you to do that 2.2 kid American dream crap, and screw that. You know, do what you want to do. So there's, yeah, I don't know. There's pros and cons. I hope that wasn't too crazy of an answer.
Oh, no, that was perfect. Have you ever been screwed over by a promoter?
Oh, yeah. I've been played a few shows to where you have guarantees in place and then they're magically not in place. Or I've even had some shows to where you show up and the show's been canceled and nobody bothered to tell you, you know. And it doesn't happen a lot, which is good. But here or there, I played a show on... not my last tour. It was my last tour. It was in October, November? I can't remember. Last year I played a place in Reno, actually, that I had for Friday and Saturday night. Had a $400 guarantee for both nights. So it would have been $200 a night. And at the end of Saturday night, and we probably played. I played with my friends there. We probably played 4 or 5 hours because it's Reno, so it's like the bars can stay open as long, as late as they want, you know. And we ended up jamming and having a ball, and there were some locals there too, the musicians that jumped in with us. It was a real fun night, and we rocked our asses off. We seriously probably played 4 or 5 hours that night between my set, their set, and us playing together. And end of the night, the guys got a sob story and $200, and decent crowds too, you know. And that situation is tough, you know, because I instantly think, you know, I'm kind of pissed off, kind of disappointed, but then you think to yourself, well, is it worth going to jail over $200, you know? Is it worth letting things get out of control? And usually not, so I just kind of chalk that up. And I just tell everybody, too, if a place does that to me or someone I know, I make it a point to get that out to everybody I know. Don't go there. Don't deal with this guy.
Oh, yeah, I definitely spread the word on them motherfuckers that do that.
Oh, yeah, man, and it's, you know, it's like, I look at it like, okay, I got screwed out of $200, still made $200, I did really well on that tour, so it wasn't worth some crazy bullshit or, you know, some scene going down, but the guy screwed himself over $200. I mean, if you want to do that, I know a lot of people, and I'll tell every damn one of them, I'll tell every single touring band I know, if you're going through Reno, do not play at this place, do not deal with this guy, so, you know. That $200 could have cost you your bar in the long run, because the economy's tight, too. So,
yeah, hopefully that motherfucker never gets any good talent his way anymore.
Oh, yeah. The long-term effects, man, are for $200. I'm like, you know, karma's in effect, man. And I you know, I lost $200, but, you know, you might have just doomed your bar with that. So, whatever.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in karma. I know karma's fucked me a couple times for shit I've done in the past.
I hear you, man. That's why I try to be good and try to be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
Stay on the good side of it.
Exactly. So what's some of the funny things that's happened to you out there on the road or at a show?
Funny things? Let me think here. Man, there's always funny stuff going on. I'm kind of a clown as it is. Well, one thing that happened that was kind of silly recently that kind of sticks out, I remember I'm kind of OCD and ADD put together, so it's like I kind of, when I'm playing live, I kind of zone out when I'm playing, because if I start looking around too much and watching what everybody's doing, sometimes I'll forget what I'm doing. one time, actually, I just got home from a tour, I think it was in October, and we were playing in Everett, which is just north of Seattle over here. And I was kind of zoning out and playing at this club. And I'm in the middle of singing, and I start looking at the flyers on the wall. I was like, man, there's some really cool flyers here. And I start zoning out, and I totally forgot what I was singing. And I started, like, I just kind of went blank. And then also some of what I was reading on the flyers, like when the lyrics, it was really, really bizarre, silly, and I don't know. You'd have to have been there, but it was kind of funny because everybody's just looking at me like, what the hell? Kind of laughing at me. But then I told them what was going on, so everybody just kind of laughed.
All right. How about we get into another song by you?
Right on.
Is there anything you'd like me to play?
I've been digging One Last Kiss. I just started playing that live, actually.
Okay, we'll play that, and we'll come right back.
Just how far can it go before we reach the point past right and wrong to a place where we no longer know? Where the lines were drawn from love to hate, by heaven or by hell, please God, just look the other way. Torn apart forever, unfulfilled, fierce and swift to move in for a kill, just look the other way.
So let me ask you this, James. Where would you like to be in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, I'd love to be exactly where I'm at, just making my goal with music. Actually, I'll take it past the 5 year thing. Is if I can just do what I love, keep doing what I'm doing, and just make enough money to pay my bills, live somewhat comfortably. That's my goal of success. You know, to me, anything past that would be icing on the cake. And so within the next 5 years, hopefully within the next, you know, year or two, I'll get to the point where I can continue to play, you know, somewhere between, I don't know, 200 to 300 shows a year, and just do what I love and make enough money to keep it all happen to where I can, you know, be on my own and pay my bills somewhat comfortably and not be scraping by, because I'm pretty broke right now. But times are tough too, so I mean, I can't complain. I get to live my dream, so, and a lot of people don't get to do that, so it's worth the trade-off. But yeah, in 5 years, I hope that I'm living somewhat comfortably financially. I'll have 4 or 5 more records out in that time, because my goal is also to put out a record or two a year. So yeah, that I'll have a lot of material out and be touring more. We'll have toured the whole country by then too, and played in Europe as well, which those are both possibilities this year. So yeah.
Yeah, when are you going to make it out to the Midwest? Because, you know, I live in Ohio. I'm pretty close to Kentucky.
I'm working on it, man. My goal is to get out there this year. The only reason I haven't set up something yet is with Jake's record, we're going to do some touring, too. And he's playing with the goddamn Gallows, and they play around 300 shows a year. I mean, they play more shows than I do. And I'm trying to work around their schedule. So when he can do it, and we're looking at summer sometime doing a tour to support his record, I'm kind of have my stuff kind of on the back burner right now, just so when the Gallows get done, I can pounce on it so we can make it happen. But after that, like maybe in the late summer, fall, winter time, I'm hoping to make it out to the Midwest, because I definitely want to get out there, man.
Who do you think out there right now that probably hasn't been heard that has a lot of talent and needs recognition?
Well, aside from Jake, I mean, Jake's been heard, but as far as a singer-songwriter, people know him more for his mandolin playing, playing with the Gallows and with 357, but he's someone that I believe needs to be heard. He's an incredible songwriter. He's got a great voice. So I'm excited about that. This record's going to give him that opportunity. And another person that needs to be heard, a lady by the name of Nicole Pike. She's a dear friend of mine, and she's the best female voice I've ever heard live in my lifetime. And she's from around Washington as well, a friend of mine. We used to play in a band together. It was a three-quarters female psychobilly band that I played drums in. We were called the Hatchet Wounds. And she's just got a set of pipes, like, she's got that power, like Patsy Cline, Ella Fitzgerald kind of power. I mean, it's ridiculous the way that she can sing. She's also an incredible songwriter, too. So if, as far as, yeah, I would say that the two of them, by far, and that's going to happen for both of them this year, too. Jake's record's coming out, and I'm actually going to start helping Nicole. I'm going to produce her solo record. For earlier part of this year as well, too. So, and you'll definitely get copies of both of those when they're done, too.
I can't wait. Who would you like to work with or tour with that you haven't got a chance to do?
Oh, wow, man. There's so many. That's a tough one. That's a good question, man. I would have said Joe Buck. But I was lucky enough to tour with him last summer, actually, when I was playing with Wayne, and that was the person I wanted to tour with more than anybody to that point. I'd love to tour with him again, for sure. I love the guy. He's a great guy. As far as artists that I haven't toured with or played with, boy, that's a tough one, man. I'm really looking forward to playing with Jake and with Johnny and doing that this summer. That's going to be a ton of fun. Man, it's such a... I like so many different types of music, man. It's like I want to tour with Motorhead. I want to tour with Slayer. I'd like to tour with Paul McCartney. I mean, I've got... it's a pretty eclectic... that's a really good question, man. There's a lot of artists out there that I'd love to work with.
So, 2010's just kicked off, and what are your plans for 2010?
2010, basically, to do another album, if not two albums, of my own material, to get Jake's record finished and do some touring with that, to produce my friend Nicole Pike's solo record as well. We may do a duet album this year. We're definitely going to do a duet album, if not this year, next year, to tour as much as I can. And to cover, like, to get out to the Midwest, get out to Ohio, like we were talking about, to cover areas where I haven't. I think I've played in about half or a little over half of the 48 states. I haven't covered the whole country yet, and I really, really want to cover the ground I haven't covered yet, get out there. So hopefully all of that, and there's something else I was thinking of, too, and I'm kind of brain farting right now. But I think that's, in a nutshell, is just to put out, get some new material going, support Jake's record, get Nicole's record out, and just tour, 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 man.
Would you like to tell everyone what the name of your album is and what label you're off of right now?
My debut album's called All By My Lonesome, and it's on my own independent label called Rockin' Roots Music.
And where could somebody pick that up if they wanted to?
You can go to my MySpace, which is myspace.com/JamesAbilly, or jameshoneycutt.com, and there's a link on both the MySpace and the website where you can pick that up online. I'm also going to be getting CD Baby and iTunes going here shortly, so that'll also increase the availability. People will be able to buy it on Amazon here shortly. And but the best way is always to come out to a show if you can. If I'm in your town, come out and pick it up at the show. It'll be cheaper and more fun anyway.
Well, I think that's going to be about it for the interview. Is there anything else you'd like to let anyone know?
Just that I appreciate people supporting my music and supporting my friend's music. You know, it's just what we're doing is kind of an underground thing, but it's definitely picking up steam.
I think so, too. It's definitely getting bigger.
Yeah, it needs to happen, man. I mean, you look at popular music these days, and regardless of the genre, it's so bad. believe that, you know, there are a lot of people like you and me that are hungry for good heartfelt music. So it's time. I think good things are coming for all of us, you know.
Well, I definitely want to thank you for doing this interview and being on my show. It really means a lot to me to have someone of your caliber on here. And I think you probably have one of the best voices I've ever heard, period.
Thank you, brother, man. Thank you for having me on my show, man. It's an honor. You know, I'm humbled at the opportunity. Thank you.
So what song would you like to close this interview out with?
How about Don't Let Teardrops Fill Your Eyes?
Okay, and tell me how that song came to be.
There's a lot of history to that song, actually. I wrote it, it was about 3 years ago now, and just kind of wrote it. I was thinking about people that I can't be with, that I love, you know, loved ones that you don't get to see as much as you'd like, people that you care about who've passed on, just kind of that vibe, you know. It's a real deep emotional song for me, and it's ironic that I called it that, because it's basically like, we'll meet again, and don't cry, I'll see you sometime, whether that's next week or in another life, you know, kind of thing. And a really good friend of mine, who was a big fan of my music, that was her favorite song I did, she actually passed away in a car accident in August of 2008, and I ended up performing that song at her memorial service shows a couple of times. So it kills me when I play that song, because I think about that, and it's ironic, because it's a song all about not crying, and I cry almost every time I play it. So it's kind of ironic.
All right, well, I do appreciate it, James. It means a lot that you did this show with me, and I can't wait till you come to the Midwest. You know, if you ever need a place to stay, my home is your home, brother.
Thank you, brother. Likewise, man. Thank you so much. I'll definitely be in touch with them. We'll figure that out, man, because I need to get to Ohio soon.
Hell yeah, I know a couple places.
Right on.
All righty. Thanks a lot.
So don't let tears teardrops fill your eyes. Your eyes tonight.
Thank you very much. I'm James Honeygut. You guys have been awesome. Thank you.
And that there was the interview with Mr. James Honeycutt. Great fucking dude and a awesome, talented musician. And he just informed me that his CD is on sale for $6. So get over to his site and purchase that, because he has an amazing voice and he's just fucking awesome, and you definitely need to have that CD in your collection. And, oh, man. My youngest daughter just hit me in my fucking nuts, and she dropped me. Oh. I think that little brat hits like Mike Tyson. Well, let's get in this last set, and then we will do the CD review for D.B. Cooper and the Hard Cash Band. So, here we go.
A drag queen puts on a frock, looks like Kylie. Transvestite puts on a frock, looks like Boris Yeltsin in lipstick. There, he said it. Thank you.
Foot, you and I. And I don't mean the one you just kicked my teeth in with.
Well, you know me, and your mama really let me down. I turn my back and start fooling around. She's a mean little mama. She's a mean little mama. If you don't behave, I'm gonna beat you with a hammer. You're a mean little mama. You're a mean little mama.
Starting this set was Slackjaw with the song Devil's Horns, and it was off the CD 200 Proof Bum Core. That's a great CD, kind of bluesy, still hillbilly, still white trash, tested and approved. And you can find them on MySpace, where I get all my bands. Yes, sir. And following them was a group by the name of Land of Blood and Sunshine with the song The Depth of Charm. And that's off their CD, Magic Carcass Ride. And ending this set was a band from Canada, Livestock Davies and the Lowdown Snakes with, I think they wrote this song about my wife, Mean Little Mama. My old lady's very mean. Frightened of her. But then again, I'm a pussy. So, that's going to be it for my show. And it's time to do the album, CD, whatever you want to call it, review of D.B. Cooper and the Hard Cash Band. And it is the CD, Down the Same Damn Road. And they are from Kansas. And last night, on the February 10th, they were at the Foxhole with another great band, Jason and the Punknecks, in St. Louis, Missouri. And if you want to get a hold of them, they're at myspace.com/dbcooperhardcashlive.com. And let me see here. CD's fucking great. It's got plenty of honky tonk, plenty of punk. Just it's, I like it. Out of a 10, I would give it an 8.5. They're that good. So check them out, and I hope you enjoy the songs I got picked out for you. The first one we'll do is called Letters from Prison, and the second will be Down the Same Road. So that will be it, motherfuckers. Enjoy.
Your sister gone and thrown me in jail. Don't forget about the letters that I sent in the mail. I meant every word on every single page. Don't forget that I love you today. Looks like I'll rot in prison all by myself, thinking of every time I held you so close. It breaks my heart the way they took me away. Don't forget that I love you today. Busted in with loaded weapons through my bedroom door. We were between the sheets, under the covers. I'll never forget the look on your crushed face. Don't forget that I love you today. They tell me to put on some clothes and they slapped on the cuffs. Said, boy, you're gonna pay. Then they took me away. I about it many, many days. Time's all I have. Please listen to what I say. Don't forget that I love you today. From the first time my eyes ever laid upon you, you were the one no one else would ever do. I love you my whole life, even after I'm in the grave. Don't forget that I love you today. Don't forget that I love you today.
Rock.
What?
How about you give us your order?
Get out of here! Don't you ever interrupt me while I'm conducting business. Move your little chicken ass. Listen, kid, you lay off that pet shop game. Women weaken legs.
Yeah, but I really like this girl, you know?
But let her sign you!
Okay, no more fooling around.
Okay, I hit it.
Women weaken legs, huh?
Made it easy for her to get.
But let me tell you this right here. She was like handling a high caliber loaded gun. I'm better off out here with all the use on me.